morning, Kairos. So our scripture reading will be from John 4, verses 27 to 38. And I'll be reading from the ESV version. Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest?' Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Good morning, once again. Good to see you. For the guests who are here for the first time, thanks for joining us and worshiping with us. Today we have a guest speaker, and I'd like to introduce him to you. Some of you may already be familiar with him. It's Pastor Yukon. He pastors Ethnos Church, which is literally right around the corner. Almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago, he came down to San Diego as a UCSD undergrad student, and he loved the city so much that he's been here ever since. 12 years ago, he planted the church, Ethnos Church, after graduating from the greatest seminary here on earth, you know, Talbot Seminary, okay? I'll be a little biased, okay? Anyways, upon graduation, he planted Ethnos Church, and for 12 years, God's really blessed them. Many people have come to know Christ through Pastor Yukon, the church, and the ministry, and this season of his life, God's calling him away from San Diego and to a new church plant location in New Jersey. And so he'll be moving in a few weeks, he and his family. And so we'd like to pray for him and bless him as he makes a transition and ventures into a new church plant in New Jersey. He's someone that I kind of came to meet over the years here in San Diego because he was facilitating a pastor's prayer gathering that would meet about once a quarter, and so I met him, and immediately my heart kind of took a liking to him. I don't know how he felt about me, but I really liked him, and I and so we would meet from time to time, have some coffee and talk, and he has definitely been a man who encouraged me at times, even gave me some guidance over the ministry here in San Diego. I'm sad to see him go, but I'm really excited for him in the new the chapter that's opening up in his life. And so before he leaves San Diego, I really asked him, could you come and just bless us with the word of God? And he'll be sharing God's word on the topic of mission. So let's give him a round of applause, okay?
Thank you. I did like Pastor Peter when I first met him, just in case if you're wondering. I really do think you guys are blessed here at Kairos with a pastor who is just so humble, who loves Jesus and loves the church, and it's just really been a great time getting to know Pastor Peter. I do know some of you as well. I see Ed over there. What's up, Ed? Good to see you. I hope I didn't just call you out and embarrass you. But I do know some of you as well, just through the years. Actually, Pastor Mark, another pastor here earlier, I think we were classmates in seminary together, and we played basketball together. Apparently, that's the story that I have forgotten. Maybe we did something wrong to each other. I don't know. Just kind of blocking it out. But it's really great to be here. Can I just pray for us as we enter into a time in the Bible? God, thank you for this opportunity. Thanks for just a chance to be with my brothers and sisters here at Kairos. Thank you for the amazing work that you're doing here, God. And as we enter into this topic of missions and just what you're doing here, God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to you, and you just show us more of who you are, what you're like, and guide us towards your purposes here this morning. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So before we jump into the topic of missions and God's heart for missions and those kind of things, I just want to get started by mentioning, if you're here for the first time and you're not really a Jesus follower yet, this is going to sound like a kind of weird topic. You're like, oh, wait a second, like I came on a Sunday where they're talking about this. Don't worry if you're in that place. This is, I think, still a good thing to know about, because if you do end up following Jesus here somehow through Kairos or through another church, you know, the crazy thing is when you start following Jesus, Jesus will call you very quickly to start loving and giving your life for someone else. And that's really what missions is about. And so this is actually a good vision cast, I guess you could say, for what your life may be about once you decide to follow Jesus. And so kind of hang in there in this conversation as we talk about that. If you're already a Jesus follower, of course, this is something that you've probably heard about, talked about quite a bit, and I get a chance to be a part of this conversation. So thank you for letting me be here. I want to get started. You know, at Ethnos, a lot of times we get started with some questions and some discussion as a larger church body, and so I kind of want to get started that way here this morning. And the question I want to get started with has to do with your engagement with mission, your engagement with God's mission. I'm going to ask you a series of three questions. The first two are just for you to kind of think about in your mind and kind of evaluate yourself with, and the last one I'd like for us to have some discussion, okay? So the question to start us with is this. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being very engaged or very into it, and one being not that into it or not that engaged, how engaged with God's mission, how engaged with God's mission are you right now? Okay, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very engaged, 1 being not very engaged, how engaged are you right now? Okay, you don't have to share it with anybody, so try to be as honest with yourself as you can. Give yourself a number. I know most of you are Asian American. I know like 10 is supposed to be the right answer. It's okay, to be honest. You're not telling anyone your grade. It's okay to give yourself below 7. It's okay. It's okay, right? How engaged, okay? So question number one, how engaged are you with God's mission? Question number two is, where would you like to be? Where would you like to be? Again, we're in a church setting, Asian American setting. I know 10's supposed to be the right answer. But maybe you're like, yeah, 10 in your mind is like, oh man, I gotta be like Pastor Peter or something. So you're like, I'm not quite a 10, but I'd like to be at least an 8. I'd like to be at least an 8 or something like that, okay? Or 7 or 6. How engaged would you like to be? Think about it. Get a number for yourself. And then question number three, and this is where I'd like for you and I to maybe have a conversation here. Question number three is, okay, I'm going to assume that there's probably a gap between your answer to question number one and your answer to question number two. Okay, I'm just going to assume that, just because at least there is for me, and I think just any normal person would have a gap between where they are about anything and the ideal place they'd like to be. So I'm going to assume there's a gap. And now the question is, third question, why is there a gap? What's behind that gap in your life? What is it that keeps you from engaging God's mission as you'd really like to engage? Now, truth be told, again, I think all of us have a gap. And so as I ask us to share right now, I hope you'll feel comfortable sharing that, hey, you know what? You're right, Yukonda, I do have a gap, and well, this is what's behind that gap. So let me open it up real quick. Do you have a gap? What's behind that gap? Who wants to kind of get started with us and share openly here about what's behind that gap? Anybody? Any brave soul? Brave soul? Do you guys do this? Does Pastor Peter do this? No, he doesn't. Okay. Sorry. But who? Anybody? Oh, right here. I'm gonna run the mic to you, okay? Yeah.
Fear of being taken out of my comfort zone.
Fear of being taken out of the comfort zone, yeah, definitely. I think most of us could relate to that. Anybody else who wants to share? Anybody else? Yeah.
I think it in part has to do with what we feel like is the missions field. Okay. It might be different from where we are, and so there's a lot of obstacles. So like work might prevent us from going to the jungle. Yeah. So.
Thank you. What's your name? Lawrence. Thanks, Lawrence. I think that's a great point. I think sometimes maybe a certain conception of what is God's mission or what's the mission field definitely can prevent us from getting engaged as we think we should. Yeah. What else? Anybody else? Yeah, right here.
Romans 7:18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out.
Dang, when you quote scripture, I mean, what else can you say? Oh, that's what you're like. Okay, great, great. No, exactly. You know, there's something in us. Thank you for pointing out. There is a definite spiritual dynamic, the Bible calls sin, that is at work to prevent us from engaging the ideal. No, definitely. Thank you. Anybody else? One last person. You guys are doing a great job. Thanks for being interactive. Yeah.
I feel like it's hard for me personally because, like God has never spoken to me directly. Like, I feel like if I was 100% sure that, like, God was telling me to do something and that it would be good for me, then I would be an idiot not to go. But I'm just not at that level.
Thank you. What's your name again? George. George, thank you for sharing that. I mean, that was really brave of you to share that. And I think, you know what, the truth be told, a lot of us are there too. We have our own personal doubts, right? We have our own personal doubts about the existence of God, about the reality of God in our lives. And oftentimes, like, yeah, if we're doubting God or we're not sure about him, I mean, why would we get engaged with something he wants us to do? And if we're not sure if his promises are good, if it's for real, why would we get engaged? No, that's great. Thank you, George. I have a feeling a lot of us probably feel that way here. Well, you guys are good. Thank you so much for sharing. You know, I'm convinced that as we talk about God's mission and getting engaged with God's mission, I'm convinced that oftentimes we can strive for something. We have this ideal that oftentimes it just kind of gets us more guilty than not when we try to talk about the subject. And the reason we have that guilt is because of some of what you've brought up and many other reasons that haven't been expressed here. And I'm convinced that, you know what, God is here when he engages in mission and when he wants us to engage in mission, he really wants there to be a sense of freedom. He really wants there to be a sense of ease. He really wants there to be a sense of natural kind of flow when we engage. And my hope is that as we begin to dive into the scripture passage here today, that God will begin to give us that sense of natural flow. And the way he's going to do that, I think, is by reiterating certain truths that perhaps we've heard about already at church, or perhaps are maybe new for the first time. But it's always the truth in the Bible. It's always the truth of Jesus and who he is and what he's doing that ultimately frees us up to engage. And so my prayer is that as we dive into this here this morning, you and I will feel more free, more empowered, more natural to engage in God's mission as we feel like we ought to. We're in John chapter 4, and as we read already here today, many of you probably are aware of the background to this story. This is a story where Jesus basically, in the earlier parts of the chapter, meets with a Samaritan woman to have a spiritual conversation with her. Now, he's kind of passing through the area, and on his way through, basically, they stop at this well. He's with his 12 apostles, 12 disciples, and they kind of go off to the nearby town to pick up some lunch while he just rests there. As he's resting there, as many of you know, this woman comes along to draw water, and basically, through a series of different events, Jesus has a deep, meaningful conversation with her about what true spirituality is, what it really means to connect with the one true God through him. Now, at the end of this conversation, as we read, Jesus' disciples come together to Jesus, and they're a little bit weirded out about what's been going on.
You know, back in that culture, you Jewish men don't really talk to women in public, especially women of another ethnic background. She was a Samaritan, he was a Jew, so this was a very taboo thing to do. They had those questions, but no one says anything. I guess you never really want to question Jesus too much, right? Last time, or later on, Peter, this guy named Peter, will question Jesus, and Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." So, you know, yeah, I guess you don't really want to question Jesus a whole lot. So no one really questions Jesus, but after a while, in verse 31, he comes. They say, "Hey, Jesus, well, we brought that food for you. We brought that lunch for you to eat. Make sure you eat something, Jesus." And then Jesus says, "Hey, I've already had something. I've already had my food." Now, again, the disciples are just getting used to Jesus, really, at this stage of the game. They're like, what is he talking about? Like, did someone else bring food? What's going on? And what we begin to realize as Jesus begins his teaching here to the disciples is we begin to realize that Jesus is trying to communicate a really important point that I think will be a game changer for us as we engage in God's mission. And Jesus' point is basically this. You know what? God's mission is happening all around you right now. It's been going on, actually, for a while, all around you. You just need to listen. You just need to look and see that it's happening right now. God's mission is going on all around you right now. It's happening right now around you. You just need to see it. Just need to see it. Notice how the teaching goes, right, as Jesus talks. This whole thing about food, how Jesus has had food, well, we realize in verse 34 that the food is actually to do the Father's work, to engage essentially in the Father's mission. And so Jesus has been eating of this food. He's been engaged in it right now. And then he changes his metaphor and he says, you know what? In verse 35, do you not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? He switches to this farming imagery. And he basically says, you guys, in your farming imagery, there's this saying that there's a harvest coming. There's a harvest coming. 4 more months, and there's a harvest. And as we know from other teachings in the Bible, harvest in Jesus' mind oftentimes is a metaphor for the mission of God, bringing all people to himself. You guys say that there's 4 more months for this harvest, but I'm telling you, it's right now. It's happening right now, right around you. It's happening right here, right now. Now, obviously, in the story, he's referring to the Samaritan woman and what has just happened with the Samaritan woman, and more, even more so, what the Samaritan woman has done after encountering Jesus. The Samaritan woman, as we read, goes back into the city to tell all the people in the city, hey, I think I found the answer. I think I found the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I think it's him. And so the mission of God is happening right here, right now. But the disciples are missing it. You know, oftentimes I wonder if that's the case with us as well. You know, sometimes we talk about mission and evangelism and all these things, and like, one more time, Lauren said, you know, sometimes we talk about it in a way that it's supposed to happen like somewhere else, like somewhere out there, and we have to prepare for that, and in many ways, rightly so, right? We know of people. I know Kairos sends people out that are engaged in God's mission out there somewhere, and that's a good thing. God wants that. There are plenty of other verses that talk about that. But woe are we if we forget that the mission is actually happening also right here, and not just right here around us, but right now, right around us, right now. You know, it's fascinating. At Ethnos, we've been a church for about 12 years, and we intentionally started our church to be a part of the Golden Triangle UTC area. All our staff actually live here within a like 2 mile block of each other, right here in the zip code. And our vision that God gave us was, you know, hey, be a church for the community, in the community, like sink in roots really deep. And so we do a lot of this evangelism around this community. A lot of it happens through relationships, friendships. But every so often, we'll, you know, get in groups of people, and we'll just go around and knock on doors, talk to people at the shopping plazas, all those kind of things, and just be engaged with what God is trying to do in our community. And every time I go, I'm just, I'm floored as to how his mission is right now and how there needs to be really more workers as we engage. So one of the things we do is every so often we get together in pairs and we go and we randomly pray for people in our community, okay? What usually happens is we go to the Trader Joe's Plaza or the Whole Foods Plaza or the Vons Plaza, and we'll go to up to people in pairs, and we just basically say, hey, we're part of a group here in this community called Ethnos. It's a multi-ethnic spiritual community. We serve this community in all sorts of different ways. We serve at the library. We help out with the school. Have you guys heard of us? And some people say yes. Some people say no. That's cool. And then we say this. We say something like this. One of the ways we'd like to serve the community today is through praying for our community. And we're just going around right now in the shopping plaza asking, hey, can we pray for you in any way? Now, I don't know about you, but when I first started doing this, this just sounds crazy, right? Like, this is wacky. Like, this is kind of crazy. Especially here in San Diego, like right here, right now. Over 90% of the people we talk to say yes. We'd love for you to pray for us. It's kind of crazy. And sometimes when we start praying, I mean, things start happening where people like break down, open up about all kinds of things. There's this one time we're in the Vons Plaza, and it's, you know, me and a guy, and we walk up to this guy, younger guy in his 20s, and basically we start giving our spiel, saying, hey, we'd like to pray for you. He's like, is that okay? He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. He's like, and he said something like this, I'm an atheist or I'm agnostic, I forget which one. Is that okay? We're like, yeah, it's no problem. Yeah, what can we pray for you for? And he shares some things about his mom and about some other things in his personal life. We're like, okay, you know, usually we like to pray for, usually we pray for people in private, but sometimes we like to pray in public here. Is it okay we pray for you, like, right now, right here? He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. There was some seats there, so we sat down together. And so me and my friend are praying for this guy. Again, the dude's like a self-proclaimed atheist agnostic guy. And we start praying for him, and after we both pray, after the second person says amen, all of a sudden he speaks up and he says, hey, can I try this too? And we're like, yeah, go for it. And so he prays this prayer. I guess it's his first time ever praying. And, you know, it's just like crazy. It's like right here, right now. God's at work in his life. God is at work trying to draw him to himself. God's at work trying to engage him in the life he offers, that he has for him. You know, this other time, and I realize sometimes, you know, you hear these stories, like people doing random things like this, you're like, oh, I would never do that. You know, that's just not for me. I definitely feel you on that. Oftentimes I'm like that too. This other time I was playing basketball with my friends. I play basketball here on a weekly basis. If you ever want to play basketball, Tuesday, 5 p.m., Doyle Park. Got a good game. A lot of us have been playing for a long time together. But, you know, every Tuesday I play, and I've been playing for years with these guys, probably 7-plus years. And they all know I'm a pastor type of person, and almost all of them, 99% of them, are not engaged with God, with church, with Jesus, all that kind of thing. And so every so often I will bring flyers and just say, hey, you guys, Easter's coming up. I just want to make sure you're invited. And sometimes some people will come. But sometimes some people, most of them, again, are totally not church people. And so this one time I was passing around, I think it was Easter or you know, fall kickoff series or something like that. And one of the guys who I've been playing for a while said to some of the newer people there at the court, like, oh, don't worry, he does this every so often. It's no big deal. You don't have to go, right? And so he's like kind of like downplaying the flyer passing out to them. I'm like, okay, that's cool. No problem. And, you know, I've known this guy for some time, and you know, we continue to play. I continue to try to be his friend. I try to have spiritual conversations with him. And I'm talking this like 3-4 years ago, okay? Like, you know, nothing's going on. Like, he doesn't want to talk about it, okay? Fast forward to about 2 weeks ago, literally 2 weeks ago. Playing ball, same guys. He's there. His name is Matt, really cool guy. And all of a sudden, he starts talking to me about our move to New Jersey to start a new church. Again, he's an agnostic guy, not religious. And he just starts asking me questions. I'm like, oh, this is kind of weird. Why do you want to know so much? And then I realized at a certain point, like, God is doing something here. He's opening up. God is opening this guy's heart up. And so I began to kind of ask him questions about more about his spiritual background, all these kind of things. And all of a sudden, he just, the door just opens up, and he's going on and on. I'm like, wow, this is kind of crazy. And in fact, it gets to a point where he says something to the effect, like, hey, Yukon, if there's anyone who could ever make this thing successful in New Jersey, it'd be you. I was like, really? Like, did you just say that? I mean, you're the guy who's, like, discouraging people from going to church when I pass out flyers. And you're saying here that, wow, God's at work. God's at work. Right here, right now. And it's not just about, you know, evangelism, telling other people about Jesus, although definitely it is about that, this idea of mission. It is about telling others about Jesus, about the good news we have in Jesus. You know, the cool thing about God and mission is, again, he's trying to reach everyone in the world, right? Everybody, all the far reaches of this planet, he wants everyone to have a chance to know. And the crazy thing is that opportunity is also right here, right now, in this very moment. What do I mean by that? God, through his sovereign design, is bringing the world to all the major cities in the United States and beyond. In San Diego, God has brought many, many unreached people groups into our area right here, right now. One great example, about 15 years ago, or 10 years ago, when George W. Bush, remember George W.? Was the president. George W. worked out a deal with King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia to open up our country to have more Saudi students come to the United States to study. President Obama extended that. And so as a result, one of the highest immigrant groups coming into the U.S. in the last 10, 15 years to study at our universities, guess what? It's not the Indians, although there's a lot. It's not the Chinese, there are a lot of Chinese. It's the Saudis. Now think about this for a moment. Saudi Arabia is one of the most closed, restricted countries for the message of Jesus. Hands down, it's the center of Islam. Mecca is in Saudi Arabia. Mecca, the center of Islam. Saudi Arabia is sending students to us, sending their professionals to us, sending their they're sending them here. And many of them are coming to the coast, West Coast, East Coast. In San Diego, many have been showing up. And so last year, a group of organizations here, churches, parachurches, began to realize what was happening here, right now in San Diego. And we began to get together and we're like, wow, God is doing something. What should we do? And as we began to talk and pray and discuss, we began to realize that, you know what? We can't just let this moment go by. We need to engage somehow. And so we started forming English conversation groups. We started doing mini conferences and discussions and Bible studies also for Saudi students. And guess who's coming to Jesus right here, right now, as a result of that? Saudis. Not in Saudi Arabia, but right here, right now, in San Diego. God is on mission. And his mission is happening right here, right now, just right around us. Are we seeing that? Are we engaging with that? I love this story because the disciples are a lot like you and I. They're missing the moment. And I've missed plenty of moments myself. But they're missing the moment, but Jesus is so good because he's trying to get him in to the moment. He's trying to say, hey, this is happening right now, right here. Pay attention. And as he kind of encourages his disciples here, he actually gives two commands in this verse that I want to just draw our attention to. If you're into studying the Bible and into verb tenses, if you're like a grammar type of person, you'll notice that in this paragraph, as Jesus is talking and teaching, there are actually only two imperatives, two commandments. All the rest of the verbs used are just descriptors. They're indicative verbs if you're into grammar. The two imperatives are really instructive for us here this morning. They're found in verse 35. And the two imperatives are simply this: look, lift up your eyes. Look and lift up your eyes. Try to see what I'm doing. Try to see what's happening. Try to see that this harvest is ready. It's right here, right now. Try to see. Try to look. Try to see this. Now, I love the way Jesus is talking about this here, because notice that Jesus doesn't jump ahead of himself, right? Jesus here doesn't give the go and make disciples commandment that he'll do later. He doesn't jump ahead to that yet because, well, frankly speaking, his followers aren't there yet. They're not ready to go make disciples. They're not ready to do mission in that sense. They haven't even seen it yet. They haven't even seen God at mission. They haven't even seen the harvest field that is right around them, right here, right now. I love how Jesus works, because I think sometimes, you know, especially if we've been around church for some time, we hear talks like this, and it's like, oh my goodness, I know I need to do that. Like, I know, you know, I feel like I'm at a 4. I feel like the church is saying I need to be at an 8. I know I need to get to an 8. And so we start thinking, okay, how do I become an 8? How do I become an 8? And, you know, sometimes we can think about doing things and getting engaged and jumping ahead. We're really, you know, I think God is working in a subtle way. And instead of do, he's saying, hey, can you just see it first? Can you just see it first? Because if you can see it, that's where it begins. That's where it starts. And so I want to try something here today, just to kind of put these words into practice. Every so often at Ethnos, we kind of do these little exercises here. And I want to try this here at Kairos. I want to kind of take Jesus at face value here when he commands us to look, to lift up our eyes. And I want to say, okay, Jesus, let's respond. Let's do that and see what happens, okay? And so this is what I want to propose to you right now. I want to take a brief moment right now for about 5 minutes and have us actually all go outside of these doors right now. Yeah, I'm serious. And I want us just to obey Jesus, very point blank. Look, lift up your eyes, and just look around. Go in the parking lot. Hopefully the security guards won't think we're like trying to jack the cars or anything. And don't look at the cars, don't look inside the cars, please. But just look around, look and see. And as you're looking and seeing, as you're just obeying Jesus, responding to him right now, just say a simple prayer. Okay, Jesus, I'm trying to obey you, looking and seeing. What do you want me to see? Simple prayer. What do you want me to see? I want us to do it for 5 minutes, and then let's come back here and talk about what happened. Does that sound good? All right. I have about 12:03. Let's go to 12:10. Meet back here. Don't leave. Pastor Peter will get upset if you leave. Don't leave. And then let's debrief what happens, right? 12:10. We're going to go until 12:10. Security, that's a good thing. Most people weren't checking out cars. That's good. All right, as everyone's trickling in, let's talk about this. Let's kind of do a quick debrief here. What did you see? What did God show you? What did Jesus tell you as you tried to obey him, just to simply look and lift up your eyes? What did you see? Who wants to share? What'd you see? Oh, and okay, yeah, right here.
I saw the mesa grad housing.
across the street. I think that was like the first, yeah. I don't know, not conviction, but the inkling, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
Anything associated with that thought? You just kind of thought like, oh, you never seen that before? Kind of?
I don't know. We don't really reach out to like grad students, just like college or like young adults, but just like maybe for us, the grad students are like the unreached in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. What else did you see? Yeah, over here.
So two things that I saw was the first thing was I already had in mind like the homeless community. You know, like I'm a part of the homeless outreach team, and it's kind of been a big part of like my heart, I guess, the past few months. But you know, it's down that way. So I already presume when we walk out, we're gonna be facing the wrong direction, right? But then when I walked out there in the canyon, there was a shopping cart just in the middle of nowhere, and to me, like that was part of the representation of the homeless community. So I felt like God still showed me that, even if we were facing the wrong direction. And the second thing I saw was, I don't know if you guys know the Jacob Medical Center that's opening up. So that represents my work because, you know, I'm a part of human resources at the medical center, and we're doing a lot of the legwork right now to build up staff for that team. So when I saw that, I knew God was saying, like, reach out to your coworkers, basically, right? So.
Awesome. Who else? What else did you see? What else did you see? Don't be shy. Yeah?
I looked at the hotel. And I think a big part, or one thing I notice always when we come here early is a lot of the kind of the maids come in early. And when I looked at the hotel, I automatically thought like, oh, you know, there's a lot of workers here, like a lot of like maids, right? And I mean, I guess like primarily like it's like of minority groups, and I don't know how much like outreach there is for them, but like we come here every week and we see them every week, you know, and I guess for me, it just kind of like, I don't know about conviction, but like, it was like, oh man, like I wonder if they go to church, if they've been reached out to. So.
Good stuff, good stuff. Yeah, let's go over here. Excuse me, let me cut through.
For about like 4 minutes, I was sort of looking to the left, and the trees are a little more brown, and the sky was pretty gloomy. In the last like 30 seconds, I sort of caught the green over here and the blue skies, and it just hit me. Just felt like good. I don't know.
Do you feel like God was trying to speak through that in any way? Like, was it a metaphor for something, or just how are you processing that? Give me some more.
For me personally, it's just, you know, I guess it's that there is more light out there for us, and just always to keep looking, I guess.
That's good, man. Thank you. Appreciate that. One more. Yeah, right. Or two more. We'll go two.
I saw the new hospital. It's been finished. And right next to it, there's the VA hospital. And I felt like there was just a God telling us that there's going to be new growth coming in, especially in the medical field here in San Diego, but that's just that was, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. One more.
So I'm just visiting from NorCal, and I grew up in San Diego, but I feel like every time I come home to San Diego, I feel really blessed because I can sense and I can see a huge movement of God in the city. And every time I come back, like, it's stronger, and I see it in my family, in my friends, in my community, and it's something that, like, I mean, just every single time I come home, there's something bigger moving, and God's definitely doing something, even though I'm not here. I mean, I can pray for the city, but even beyond me, like, there's just so much going on, yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You know, I love what you guys are saying and what you're seeing, because I really believe God, like you were saying, God is at work right here, right now, right around us. And it's something that, truth be told, we can miss because we are so used to maybe being in San Diego, kind of just going along with church. But God is doing something here that is so special. Let me just share a couple more stories and stats just to hopefully paint a picture of what God's doing. And hopefully you can just continue to jump on with God's mission. First thing I think of is really what you guys are doing here at Kairos. Pastor Peter's been telling me that you guys have been doing some fundraising, looking for a building, all these things, and things are coming to a head. And I don't know, but I don't know. I'm sure Pastor Peter's told this to you before, but let me just say it as from an outsider. The fact that your church could raise the amount of money you did for the sake of God's mission here, that's special. That's really special. It's not normal. Don't think of this as a normal thing that, oh, every church says. No. There are plenty of churches that die every week because no one's going anymore. Plenty. When Pastor Mark and I planted churches in 2003, the stats at that time, 8 out of 10 churches die. 8 out of church plants die. Somehow we made it. I don't know. It's God. It's Jesus. At that time, early 2000s, when we planted here, San Diego was very unchurched. It still is. If you look at certain stats for the city, about 90 to 95% of the city is still unchurched. That means on any given Sunday, people aren't in a place worshiping Jesus. We've done some more research for this zip code specifically. Any given Sunday, it's about 95 to 97% unengaged with Jesus here, right here. Now, the crazy thing is, of course, 2003, at that time, God started a bunch of new churches. In fact, if you think about it, if you look at all the churches just around this area that are kind of thriving and vibrant, they all were either started around that time or received new senior leadership at that time. So you can go down the list. Kairos, Ethnos, Coast. You can look at Flood, Rock, the big ones. Prior to 2000, none of us are around. And so Kairos, you guys are a part of what God is trying to do right here, right now in San Diego. But not only that, you know, 10, 12 years have passed. The stats are still the same, unfortunately. Not that we're doing a bad work, but the fields are still ripe for harvest. And so God is still continuing his work. And you know, we've been praying. Pastor Peter mentioned we have this pastor's prayer group. You know, a lot of times we're praying that God would raise up more workers for the harvest, more people to see that, man, the field is ready right here, right now. Let's get engaged with God's mission. And lo and behold, over the span of the last year or so, God has brought in a couple of new church planters to do work right here, right now. And I'm so excited for that. You know, sometimes pastors, we get a little jealous about like, oh, no, there's another church here. What if people go to that church, all those things? Dude, there's 95 to 97% people who don't know a lick about Jesus. It doesn't matter. Let's pray for these church plants. Let's pray that God blesses them. You're about to potentially move to a new place in San Diego. Awesome. Engage. Engage in God's mission right here, right now. And so the disciples here, coming back to the story, and let me just say share a final word and just we'll pray. The disciples here, obviously, they're still trying to get a feel for Jesus. Jesus does his teaching, and he's saying, hey, you know what? Look, the harvest time is now already. The sowers and the reapers are getting together to celebrate. You know, I sent you out to labor, in verse 38, for that which you did not labor for. Others have labored, and you've entered into their labor. You're experiencing some good things because of the people that have come before you. And I think what Jesus is trying to do, again, is just to make them mindful of the history of this big story that they're in. But he's also trying to encourage them, hey, don't let this moment pass by. don't let this moment pass by. And so as a church, Kairos, you know, you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome because you are right where God has called you to be. And you have an amazing thing, amazing history that God has brought you through, whether you know it or not. Again, sometimes we forget. You know, we just do the church thing, all stuff. Yeah, man, back when you were started, 8 out of 10 church plants failed. You did not fail. You've just raised a bunch of money. You're about to get into perhaps another building. That's not normal. Don't forget where you've come from. And get ready for what's about to come. Engage in God's mission right here, right now. May you see what he's doing and join in on what's ahead. Let's pray. Let's pray. God, it's just an honor to be a part of your work here at Kairos here this morning.